It is time right now for us to be joined by Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean. Coach, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to.
First and foremost, wanted to talk about the LSU game this past weekend. Obviously, it's been a series of ups and downs for sure for you guys, and this past weekend was really one where y'all grinded really hard all the way to the end, and after some, you know, maybe some performances that weren't what you would have wanted, this one was, you didn't get the win, but certainly a much, much better performance overall from the team.
Oh, I thought so. No doubt about it. I mean, definitely Ole Miss and Texas A&M were not up to a standard that we've got to play at to really have a chance to win, and that was not the case against LSU. We really played much like our practices had been. And I think where the disappointment comes sometimes for us is we practice really well, we practice sharp, and then we don't bring that to the game. And in this situation, we did. And it was a couple of things that got us at the end. And really, other than that, our guys believed and were totally locked in on what it was going to take to win. And it, we just came up a little bit short at the end.
Now, Coach, you obviously, as a coach of any sport, you want to play well, and you want your team to play well for the seniors. And, you know, those guys have given so much to this program. But at the same time, for this unit, I think it's really about, you know, developing the guys that are going to be, you know, on this team next year. You look at that kind of core of, you know, Tyree Crump, Jordan Harris, Nicholas Claxton, you know, Rayshon Hammonds, and then some of the freshmen you've brought in this past recruiting cycle. So in terms of the, I guess, development and knowledge and learning of the offense that you want to run and making that transition, how would you say, not so much the seniors, because again, it's not that they're not important, but they're not going to be, you know, around next season. So in building this program, how would you say that the guys that are going to be back have taken to your system and are learning it?
Well, I think they're all trying. I think, and again, when you're coaching a team, you recruit with a vision, you plan with a vision, but you recruit to the you play to the present. And you try to get everything out of everybody that you have on your team. And I think that's exactly what we're trying to do with the upperclassmen now. And we're trying to develop them completely the best way we possibly can. Christian Harrison is a good example of that, with the confidence that he's starting to play with and the confidence that his teammates have in him when he's on the court because of his toughness and grit and aggressiveness and all those type of things. But I think you're constantly trying to put the skills in that people need for now and for the future. And I think like Tyree Crump is a great example. He's getting better in so many ways, but we've got to continue to do even more with his feet in the sense of stretching his feet with the dribble or stretching his feet when I mean, you know, with his first step defensively, you know, getting the most out of his first step and getting the most out of his ability to cover ground. And so those kind of things you're working on, and it takes time to change some of those things as you go and to expand their game. So you're constantly trying to expand their game in mind and at the same time give them skills and confidence to play well in the present. So it's a balancing act, but it's a good balancing act, and it's one that if you're totally locked into getting guys better on a daily basis, you know, hopefully it catches fire and helps them.
Talking with Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean, and obviously, you know, in that development and things for next year, obviously, you know, you can't talk about recruits that haven't signed anything like that. But one thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, your, I guess, recruiting philosophy and what you're doing here. Because in the past at Georgia, you know, being completely, you know, honest and upfront about it, a lot of times these big, you know, five-star, big-time recruits that come out of Atlanta, that come out of the state of Georgia, and because it's such a hotbed, you've had your historically great programs come in and get those kids, whether it be Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, things like that. But early on, as we've seen by some of the things that have happened, you know, you're definitely not scared to go head-to-head and mix it in with those guys and go over to Atlanta and get that elite talent. And, you know, that's really what's going to build this program as much as anything, is getting that talent from Atlanta to stay in state as opposed to, you know, going to some of those other places.
Well, I don't disagree at all. And I think what we have to keep in mind with all of that is you've got to have some people that want to take a chance on this, not take a chance on the University of Georgia. You don't take a chance on a school like this, not with this prestige and level of academics and what it means, but take a chance on us building this program to be where it's going to be. When the schools come in that have perennially won, they can sell that. They can sell that to the recruit. They can sell that to their family. We have to sell the fact that this is an incredible school, that life after basketball, when you're from Georgia, can be immensely strong, and at the same time, give us a chance to build what we're trying to build, and all the things that you want when it comes to success, when it comes to future success in the NBA, things of those nature, they're all there because we've done that in the past. And that's the kind of stuff that we've got to continue to try to sell. We're not going to get everybody, because some will want the ready-made. They will want to go where they're already winning. We want the people that want to come in here and help us be that program, because we're certainly not going to look at it any different than that. I mean, everything is here. We just got to get people convinced that they can come and get it that way and help Georgia win. And I think at the end of the day, that's what you want more than anything else. You don't want people that are playing at Georgia. You want people that are playing for Georgia. And when you're playing for Georgia, when you're playing for your program, when you're playing for your school, those things can really happen for you that you want in your future. But there's just a special level of ownership when you're playing for the school that you're at, and it's not just another stop on your career ladder.
Coach, one of the first things you did when you came to Athens was put your staff together. Amir Abdur-Rahim, Chad Dollar, a couple guys that are very entrenched into the Atlanta AAU scene, which has sort of not been fruitful for the University of Georgia over the years. But just how important is it for you guys to establish those connections in that that sect of basketball, which is so vital to basically college football, basketball in the South, and they seem to be having success doing so?
Well, relationships are built on trust, and that's what you got to have. You've got to build relationships over a period of time, and that's helped me. You know, I knew some, didn't know others, and you build a relationship, and then you use what you've done in the past to show them what you're going to do in the future. And those guys have done a fantastic job. Chad, Amir, and Joe has been like, much like me, getting used to this area. But in the case of Amir and of Chad, they've done a fantastic job because there are relationships, there is trust, they are a part of it every day. So now they're not just giving examples of what they think or giving examples of what they've heard. They're giving examples of what they see. They're giving examples of what they feel. They're giving examples of through their experiences and the understanding of what we're trying to do on a daily basis here. And they're around the University of Georgia on a daily basis, which even brings another level of energy in your recruiting, because you get to see what it's like here for the people that go to school here and what it can mean for them down the road. So they've done a fantastic job with that. And they're growing every day as coaches and as recruiters, and in turn, so is our recruiting, and I think that's huge.
Coach, now that the season is in full swing, and a lot of folks, you know, then they look at college basketball, they think, you know, how are the players learning? How are the players, you know, adapting to this system? But let me ask you, just as a veteran coach coming to the University of Georgia to basically build this program from scratch the way that you want it, how have you grown? What have you learned this year about yourself as a coach?
Oh, I think there's a lot. I think there's an awful lot. I think you got to take a breath once in a while and take a deep breath and think it through. And what happens is this: you get so locked in. If you have passion for coaching, when you're going to have passion for the people that you're with, and when you have passion for people, there's demands, there's conflict once in a while. There's you're pushing people to go above and beyond what maybe they think they can do, maybe with what they want to do, and you have to keep pushing and pushing. And I don't think that's one of those things. Obviously, when you recruit and you get somewhere for a long period of time, it becomes longer, where you've just had that relationship for a period of time. But when you walk in and you make somebody your group, right, which we did here, you want them to be successful. And you need to push. And I think you realize that what you're trying to do works, so you stay with it, even when they don't see it, even when it's not as fruitful as you would like. You stay with the skills. You stay with the fundamentals no matter what, even when they're not clicking. You stay with that. And I think, if anything, you totally stay locked into a stick-to-itiveness, but at the same time have flexibility on what you need to change, what you need to grow, because at the end of the day, we're trying to win the games, right? So, like, I can look at it and say, okay, we're going to play We're trying to build our style of play. Is it exactly where it's going to be moving forward? No, not even close yet. But we're working on it every day. So we have to continue to develop the guys that we have for that, but yet recruit for the future to that style. But that means you never get away from giving these guys the best opportunity that they have to be successful in that present day. And I think, again, for me, just staying true to that and realizing that's the most important thing. And then, without question, anything that you're in, you're only going to be as strong as your faith. And your faith, not only your faith in your people and your faith in your family, but in your faith in your spiritual life. And to me, every time you get conflicted or every time you get disrupted or every time you get distracted, you got to get back to that. And I think that's the most important thing for me to remember, and just kind of reiterates it.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about defense. That's one thing when you're transitioning to a faster, quicker, more up-tempo offensive style. A lot of people say that that's going to affect your defense, that's going to hurt your defense or something like that. And I think one thing is that, you know, it's more about, yes, you want to make the game more up-tempo and things like that, but how do you counteract that and how do you argue against that in terms of telling people that, look, just because we're trying to play faster on offense doesn't mean we're not going to play defense?
No, that's a misnomer. That's really not what it is. There's three things that are really affecting us right now defensively and affected us all year. Number one, it's the ability to really guard the ball and get those feet out. Some of that's got to do with physicality, and some of it's got to do with footwork. A lot of it's got to do with talk. We're not, our physicality, our lack of being able to really defend the ball, and our talk, our calling out helps and situations and switches and coverages, those are the things that have really, really hurt us. It doesn't matter if you're playing to score 80 or 90 points or if you're playing to score 50 points. It doesn't make any difference because those possessions become crucial. And then what happens is when you don't have that talk, you don't have that cover for each other. And we'll get into situations where Ole Miss game was a great example. We played a lot better than the score looked when it came to defensively, but we would have one mistake at the end of a possession or one miss switch, one miscommunication, one guy in the wrong spot, and all of a sudden the team is good enough to make up for it, the other team. And that's the thing in this league. The margin for error on any given night is so slim. And for us, it's a little slimmer because that lack of really being able to guard the ball, the lack of that physicality at times, especially on the perimeter, and then that lack of talk. And it's not anything I don't say to these guys every day and that we don't work on every day that has to be fixed. But those really are the issues. I mean, we spend as much time on defense and doing those type of things as we do anything else. I mean, we shoot a lot. But at the end of the day, the way we're trying to guard and things of that nature, that's what we're doing. And I know it doesn't look like that all the time, but that's the bottom line. And it's always been that way. And going back to the days at Indiana and Marquette, you don't win and you don't win championships if you're not playing both ends of the court well. And we'll get to that here. We'll get that. I mean, there's been times it's been good. We've got to keep looking for ways to fix how we defend that paint, you know, when that ball starts to get driven, because that's where our weakness has been.
Coach, you guys are going to be playing in the Maui Invitational coming up next season, and we had the the thing where they brought out the surfboard.
I know you guys are going. I know you guys are taking a field trip, road trip out there.
I really hope
live remotes from Maui.
If you've got seats on the plane, Coach, we'll gladly join you out there and put
a
credential.
We got to work on that. We need a bigger charter for that.
No
I think
doubt.
That's what we need to do.
No doubt. We'll grease the wheels around here and see if we can't get a party going down there. But that's one of those things where you see Georgia going out and being in a tournament like that, and, you know, obviously of all of these sort of early season tournaments, Maui Invitational is always the one that pops right off the top of my head, is the one that I have the most knowledge of and the one that seems like the most prominent. So I'm sure that you as a you know, young in your tenure at Georgia coach here in Athens, getting on those big stages like that is massively important.
Oh, there's no question. And credit goes to Mark Fox and John Bateman and Greg McGarity, certainly, for making those decisions before we came. That's something that we walked into, you know, with Maui. So for Maui to look at Georgia and put them in that says a lot on both parties. And I think that Dave Odom does an incredible job running the Maui field. And so and the big thing for us, and this is the bottom line with it, for us to be invited to that is obviously a big deal to be on the big stage. But now we got to go and produce not only on the court, but we got to produce with fans. And what we don't want to be in a situation like that, especially with Kansas there, especially with Michigan State there. I know Virginia Tech will travel. I'm not even again, and think, I know UCLA's there. I'm not sure how they'll travel, but being in there with Kansas, being in there with Michigan State, they're going to travel extremely well. We've got to make sure we travel well. I mean, and it'll be an opportunity. No one's going to miss a football game because of it, and can be in Maui and be back for football, which is a heck of a week if you can pull that off. So, to me, we've got to have tremendous attendance to that if we want those type of things to keep coming. It's like the attendance that we have right now in games. It's phenomenal. I mean, our attendance is tremendous, right? Well, all that's fueling us, and it's really fueling our future for recruits to see that, because now the opposing schools and negative recruiting can't say, well, nobody's at the games, or they only sell out for the weekends, or they only do this, or they only do that. Now you can't say that anymore. I mean, and that's the same thing with being in those type of fields. You want us to say, boy, Georgia travels extremely well. Let's invite them to this tournament.
All right, Coach, one more thing before we let you go. Your son Riley is on the Georgia baseball team. They just started play this past weekend, getting a sweep of Dayton. Now, I know that obviously you've tried to build a relationship with some of the other coaches here around town, and I just wanted to know, what kind of sports dad are you? Are you going to constantly be in Strick's ear? Are you going to let him kind of do his own thing? What kind of sports dad are you?
No, I'm not like that. Well, I think one thing, Riley, it looks like he's going to redshirt this year. And so he won't be playing, so he'll be training and he'll be practicing and doing all those type of things. But no, I'm an observer. I like to learn enough that I can make some points to Riley. But it's more reminders, and it's more knowing him, and it's more the mental part of it than it is. I don't know nearly enough about pitching. I watch it, I look at it, I try to learn it, but it's more the mental part, you know, because I think there's carryovers to those type of things. And I think the biggest thing I've always wanted for my kids, and certainly with Riley being involved in the sports, but my daughter Ainsley is 13. She plays sports. My daughter Megan played some tennis at the end. The biggest thing you want for your kids, are they in an environment where their spirit is strong and where they're improving every day? And I've always felt like if you've got those two things as a parent, you let everybody else do their job. Is their spirit strong? And are they improving every day? And that's as I think Joni would share that with me. I mean, that's what you want at the end of the day, because I don't think you can do the job that I have. You know, I've had situations where I've dealt with people that they coach for a living, but then they couldn't really put that coach hat on when you were coaching their kid and they only had the dad hat on. That's tough. You know, I don't want to be like that. I think you have to have the coach hat on a lot. And to me, spirit and improvement, and if you've got those things, then things are moving in the right direction every day. And I feel great about him being in that program. I think he's we're honored that he's in this Georgia program.
Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean. Coach, you guys taking on Mississippi State tomorrow night at the Stegman Coliseum.
Man, they're good.
Certainly, and they are very well coached. So hopefully the fans are out in full force to rock the Steg tomorrow night. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean.